coming neck high. It was going to take their head off. It was going to. And Bob spoke this to different men in the vineyard, different ones. And he said, yep. The sword is coming. He said, I have one word for you. Because the only way it will be safe in the vineyard in leadership is on your belly, crying out to the Lord for help.
Amen.
And so the first sword is passed. And again, now it's coming, the next one. He said, the very sword that cuts one, that eliminates one leader, is the same sword that knights the other leader when it taps it. It anoints them and releases them.
And I feel better about right now than I felt in 10 years. I feel a unity in Vineyard that I've never felt before. There's a closeness that's taken care of in Vineyard that's never been before. You still got some people in the lower ranks that are not yet in their right place. Shaking them out of where they are, and it'll only shake them in the new place. There's a new structure that's coming for Vineyard. And in this new alignment, John will totally be on top of all of it.
That's just the Lord's appointment.
He'll have the revelation, and it's not going to be in confusion. It's going to be peace and rightful place in the ranks of God. And in that way, each one moving in his anointing, because sometimes when you're out of your place, you're trying to stand. And when you're appointed, you cannot perform another man's anointed. And so many of you are going to begin to find by the Spirit of God your rightful place in the army of God. And boy, then do you flow. And that's what he's going to begin to do in the new structure. Bring each one into his right place in the ranks of God.
Now, you're talking about a new structure among pastors and leaders? Or
entire Vineyard. And it'll start here, but in the movement of that.
Wait, start in Anaheim, you mean?
Yeah.
In the Anaheim?
It's already church. Started. There's a Vineyard I see sort of like in chaos right now. And chaos comes, and that's what he's calling you to, divine order.
Wait, let's go back now. You said the Lord is going to bring chaos?
No, they're in chaos right now.
Appointed of the Lord, or is that the enemy?
Absolutely, that's what he's done. If you can tear up everything.
So the Lord is bringing in the caterpillars?
He already has.
And he's tearing the house down?
No, he's already got it tore down.
Okay.
What he's doing now is beginning to build a solid foundation that will not fall, and built on his godly order. Yep. I saw 5 acres of plowed ground.
Now, how'd you see this, in a dream?
Yep, I was shown this by the Holy Spirit.
You wasn't there.
I was there. I was told that every person that belonged to Vineyard right now that was really committed to it in the entire world would fit in a 5-acre plot.
So if you put all the people together and crammed them, they'd fit
yep.
in 5 acres?
Yeah, they'd fit in 5 acres. And I figured that is about the size of a football stadium, which would be between 50 and 100,000 people that belong to Vineyard right now.
Across the whole world?
Yeah, across the whole world. And I saw 5 acres. And it had been plowed. I mean, it was broke.
Explain that.
That means their spirits had been broke. And their spirits was being regenerated and renewed. Because a broken and contrite spirit, their prayers are yea and amen to Papa. And they were broke. And they were plowed.
That's the state right now? Or
that's the state right now. And I was told to come out here and begin to sow some seeds. And that's what he's going to do with the evangelists and the pastors and the prophets, is sow seeds into the ground. That's what we're doing, is sowing
that's
seeds.
That's words of hope, prophetic words.
Yeah, that's word that shall come to pass, because when them seeds come in, they'll be ready to be sown next year in a new harvest, which will be exactly 10 times of what you are now. You're going to need 50 acres.
Now the Lord told you that he's going to make the 5 acre of influence, the 50
yep.
to 100,000 people,
yep.
he's going to put a zero on it, right?
Yep, he's going to take the seed from it. And you're going to begin to sow that seed, and which will only be for the next wave that comes after that.
So the next,
in other words, labors for the harvest.
The next purpose, the vineyard will increase 10 times.
Yep.
And
what
how,
it is
how
now.
How exactly did the Lord tell you that?
Told me that audibly. That's what he told me when he told me to come here and tell the visions.
Wait, what now?
When he told me to come to California and go to work for a television station, that's what he told me to come and tell him. Tell him a vision.
Yeah.
So that's the vision I'm telling you.
John talked to me the other day and he said, you know what, I just think Bob Jones needs to be here. I said, oh really, that's wonderful. I didn't have a thought of that. And I called up Bob. I said, hey Bob. He says, I know, I'm coming to the vineyard. And I said, are you ready? He says, yeah, I'm all ready. He says, I knew it was coming. Then I called up Paul Kane. I said, hey, Paul. He says, I know, I'm coming too. I says, what's the deal with you guys? And Paul's been here, but just fellowship with some of the leaders and stuff. And he's going to come for another couple of days. And just the Lord is just doing something so beautiful in friendship. Because friendship, the Lord, talk about the house of friends, about God's purpose.
You mean the house of Koinonia? Which
yeah,
is
that's
the house
what
of
the Lord wanted to raise
Koinonia
up.
Koinonia is the house of friendship. That's what he's going to raise up. So he was telling me to come out here and begin to tell you what the purpose was you was going through.
The purpose of the plowing up the ground.
Yeah, and the purpose that you've been going through for 10 years is get you in unity and harmony with one another where you can begin to act like an army. Because when you have division, you don't get anything done. You're fighting so much against one another. But he's told me that you're coming into a new order. And he's literally going to begin to cover you with a new group of leaders that'll be in a unity and a harmony like you've never seen before.
Okay, now you say a new group of leaders. Explain what that means.
Well, he's going to begin to bring the leaders together in a new harmony. By the way, he's going to send you in new leaders too.
But you too.
You're going to increase. You're going to have new Holy Ghost filled spirit people that's going to be sent to you.
But as I was talking to you in the back room, I was asking you specifically about the 10 leaders. And you said the Lord was going to make some of them brand new.
Yeah.
And that the Lord would even add to that number. So he said that the 10, so what's happening with the 10?
10 leaders here?
Yes. I mean the national leaders.
With them, he's bringing them into a unity and a harmony where the house that he's going to build. What he showed me is like you've got your barn ready. You got your fields plowed. You haven't got your house built. You're sort of like in that chaotic stage right now. But the next thing you're going to see built here is a house that is everlasting.
That has a covering, that has spiritual leader. Covering always means in his visions. The roof always means to him the spiritual covering, the leadership.
Yep.
So he told me, as we were talking about this, he said that the 10 men in that place that, do you know, I mean, the Lord, did he speak to you about that? He said they were approved and he was causing them to be renewed in many ways, in very positive ways. Then he was going to add even others to them.
He had been moving on some of them that wasn't quite in harmony, that are being brought into total harmony with one another and with a vineyard vision, which the Lord himself gave, and to begin to build a house that would be a house of friendship, a house of love.
So friendship would be one of the key characteristics of the vineyard.
Yep. Compassion. And in this, that house would begin to come in. And he was also, and you've also got another place that I noticed that you've been building. And it's called a house of antiquity.
A house of antiquity.
Yeah. And it would be an ancient house like a museum. And that you were going to begin back some of the ancient treasures.
That's the book of Acts. That's the ancient treasures.
Yeah. Some of the ancient treasures that the enemy had actually stole from the church. And recently in a vision, in the devil's trophy room in the second heaven, I was sent there to get a specific thing, but I saw the most beautiful harp there, David's harp. Boy, I would have loved to grab that thing, but I'm not appointed to. But John Wimber one day is going to ascend in there and he's going to grab that harp. And he's going to bring the sweet psalmist back to body of Christ, back to Israel, spiritual Israel. And the voice of the sweet psalmist will be heard again in the land.
Now, we're going to really focus in on that one in a minute because we're going to tell the whole parable. But so the Lord says that he's building a new house.
Yep.
The field is plowed.
Yep.
The field plowed, I think of the verse in Hosea 10:12. It says, break up the fallow ground of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Across the whole vineyard, the Lord has spoken to Bob and to Paul. Which it's so valuable because they're at a distance just seeing from the Lord. You know, they're not right in the middle of it, so they have a perspective and a, you know, without the bias in it. And he said, the Lord's told both of them that the ground is being broken up across the whole nation in the vineyard.
Yes.
It's not just something happening in Southern California. It's a sovereign act.
Amen.
It's happening from one coast to the other.
Yes.
The leadership, as a rule, are all on their face. I'm sure there's an exception here and there, but the majority of the vineyard pastors are down seeking the Lord with a divinely initiated seeking and panting after God. God started the thing. They might not even know that, but the Lord is sovereignly intervening and interrupting the vineyard right now.
Amen.
And he said, so he's plowing the ground. The people are following the leadership. The barn is being built. And he sees the house of antiquity, which is this museum of the ancient weapons of warfare that Peter, James, and John handled, that the church has not handled in fullness,
right,
even from those early days. And the Lord wants to return some of those power demonstrations and the purity of heart and power in ministry, as well as wisdom. He wants to return those back to the church. And so he's building the covering for the house, and he's bringing those weapons back to the house. Something awesome is getting stirred up in the heavens. He's going to make the vineyard 10 times the number. Then he's going to settle it and prune it and get it ready. Then he's going to do the great increase that the vineyard has been appointed for.
Amen.
Because the vineyard's purpose is not the tenfold of what it is now. It's the real purpose is beyond that, because the increasing it times 10, as we've talked about this so many times, is to give leadership for the next wave of increase.
Oh, amen.
The tenfold increase is to get leaders for the next wave that comes after
that.
Talk on that if you have some more to
add. Well, that word of antiquity, those that haven't seen the movement of the Lord before in their lives will be able to come and see those gifts moving and get ministered to and get back into faith. It'll be a place that they can come from any place and begin to see those ancient gifts in the body of Christ moving. I want to tell you something else about Vineyard. Every breakthrough you get is not a vineyard breakthrough. It's a body of Christ breakthrough.
Amen.
Every gift that the Holy Spirit's anoints in Vineyard is not a vineyard gift. It's a body of Christ gift. And the leadership that God is raising up in men and women in Vineyard is not Vineyard leadership. It's body of Christ leadership. The Lord told me that he was going to raise up 7 apostles that he's already birthed in Vineyard right now. And they're about 2 years old. And the heavens themselves declared it with a great supernova. And them are not going to be Vineyard apostles. Those are going to be body of Christ apostles. Wherever they walk, they're going to have authority and the anointing of Jesus Christ. And that's who they're going to represent. So don't get into spiritual pride on this and think you got a market cornered on it. Because everything that you do, every victory you get, and every growth stage you go through is the body of Christ.
Well, I think it's time for Jack and the Beanstalk.
You ready for that, Joe? I think it was 86. I was in New Orleans, and the Lord had told me.
This is crazy.
He told me in January of 86, you're going to New Orleans. You're going to go down there, and you're going to meet a man like, let me see, what was the name of that man? There's a singer out here, I forgot what his name was. He's going to be like that. He's a musician. And you're going to drink some Louisiana tea. And let
wait,
me see,
now,
that,
what now?
That man, Burl Ives, that's who he was. this man's sort of going to be like Burl Ives.
Sorry, John, I didn't have to remind him.
In Burl Ives, he advertised Louisiana tea. And he says, you're going to Louisiana. And I want you to meet this man. But he's going to think you're strange. And he showed me, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to meet him. And you're going to see him. I want you to tell him a tale. And he's going to say, uh-huh, I'll see you later.
Wait, you're going to tell him a parable.
And what?
Wait, now, what'd you say? You're going to go tell him?
Yeah, I'm going to go tell him a parable. And this man will say, I'll see you later. And he says, I just want you to meet him. I want you to put this parable inside him. And when he understands, it'll be time for you to meet him again. So, we went to New Orleans, and I saw John. And I told him a parable. And John says, oh, see you later, brother. That's what the Lord meant to. And this is the story I told him. The Lord told me to tell him this story.
This is their first acquaintance, okay? So I understand this, John. your first run, and when Bob came back from Louisiana, he told us ahead of time that he was going to have an appointment, and he had a parable, and he told us the parable, and I thought, oh, man, don't tell him that one.
And you got to stand, the pay is the same.
So Bob meets and tells him the parable. I said, how'd it go? He says, just like the vision said. He thought I was crazy.
And this is what the Lord told me about that old Burl Ives looking feller. Said he had a good voice, too. I've never heard him sing, but said he had one as good as Burl Ives, too. Maybe I'll hear him sing one of these times, because he has the anointing to loose the minstrels.
That's the singers.
So they was this old boy the Lord called Jack. Jack and John, by the way. Jack is just a nickname for John. And he told me a parable about this Jack and the beanstalk, or John and the beanstalk. There was old John, and he was in a house that a widow woman owned.
Speaking of a church.
And the church she is in, where her husband had left, and she is a widow woman.
She couldn't bear fruit.
Her cupboards were bare. And all they had left was an old pet cow. Just some old pet cow doctrines that was even dry. You couldn't even get any milk out of them anymore.
It didn't really feed the people, the doctrines didn't anymore.
And so old John, he wasn't contented. He was real discontented. And he said, let's sell the doctrines. Let's sell the old pet cow and see what we can get out of it. At least we'll get something to eat. So he went, he carried the old pet cow, and he couldn't find anybody that really wanted her. But he did find, let me meet a man. And the man says, yeah, I've got three little old beans. They're magic beans.
And that would be the Holy Spirit. The
yep, the Holy Spirit says, I've got three beans. These will work wonders. I'll trade them for you. And old John, he was really glad, so he traded the old pet cow for the three beans. And he went home and says, look here what I got, Mama. And boy, she said, how did I ever get a son like you?
The church didn't appreciate his exchange.
So she throwed the beans out the window, and then old John right after him.
He jumped out the window and said, I'll take the beans, and I'll go out the window with it.
And so he was wondering, but I thought I was doing right. Man, what come on me? And so after a short time of weeping before the Lord, he raised his eyes up, and them beans had growed right up into the second heaven, into the mystic realm of Satan.
That's the place you do warfare against Satan.
And he was thinking, man, I ain't got nothing else going down here, so I might as well go up there and see what's going on. So I don't really feel I got anything to lose. So he clumbed that beanstalk, and he come into the mystic realm. And he saw a great castle. And he's wondering, well, I wonder what I can find in there. So he went into this great castle, and it was the giant's castle.
That's Satan's kingdom, his dominion.
Yes. And as he went in there, the first thing he found was a bunch of old geese. There wasn't really anything extraordinary about the geese or this goose that was there. It's what she had inside of her. She was just an old, plain, everyday goose. But she had gold in her belly. She had an anointing of compassion in her belly. Old John, he grabbed her up real quick-like. And he had compassion again to exhibit to the world the gold.
Gold mean divine inspiration.
Yes. And as he was running out of that castle, he saw a golden harp over there. And you know, that old goose and that gold, that old devil had stole it.
That means our Heavenly Father.
Yep. And so old John, he grabbed that harp and that goose, and he made a run for the beanstalk.
The devil
was right on his trail. That harp there, we're talking about up there, that's David's harp.
It said David's harp in the vision. It had David's harp, the restoration of worship.
Yes. That's what he's called to loose.
So compassion and worship were the two things.
Yeah. That's what he's called to loose back into the body of Christ. Not just vineyard, but into the body of Christ.
You know, the song of the Lord to the ends of the earth.
Yes. One thing the Lord told me, that he had a son that just looked just like him. And he was going to anoint that son one day. And his name is Carl Tuttle. And Carl's only going to be one. There's going to be some other ones he anoints.
But he would anoint him with David's harp as well.
That's right. And so he looked around when he got down on the earth.
So does Carl look like Burl Ives? Let's start calling Carl Burl Jr. How's that? Let's call him Burl Jr.
Burl Jr.
BJ.
Well, that's okay, Carl. He who has the last laugh has the last laugh.
So John gets the goose with the golden compassion. He gets David's harp.
Yep.
He takes a run. He's taking it back from the kingdom of darkness. These truths in the body of Christ.
You want to see what an old goose looks like? It's got gold in it. Look in the mirror. I'm looking at a bunch of them, a whole flock. That's who you are. And that's what he's been called to do, to anoint you.
So
to show the river of compassion, so it'll flow out of you.
So as Jack is running with the goose and the golden harp, he goes to the beanstalk, and then there's just warfare from that time on.
Oh, absolutely. And he slides down that beanstalk, and he picks up an axe in Jeremiah 51:20. In Matthew, the third chapter, and the unfruitful fig tree.
That's Matthew 3, is the axe to the root of
that which has been unfruitful. And that's part of his calling. For one of his last anointings will be swing the axe. And I'll tell you, you'll really swing the axe when you begin to reveal the gold and the praise. It'll really swing the axe on unfruitfulness in the body and begin to reveal a more perfect way.
You know, this sounds like a cute little story, but I mean, this was a divine revelation. I really believe this.
I mean, so do I.
It's John's history and his future. It's really quite a special thing.
That'll be three tools. It'll be in the house of antiquity. They're in the Bible.
Three pools?
Tools.
Three tools?
Yep. Saints moving in love and compassion. That's what they want to see. And the axe against unfruitfulness. Unfruitfulness,
which is purity in the end.
Yep.
purity of heart.
Yep.
And those are the three seeds that were planted.
That's the three commissions that John is commissioned to do in you and for the body of Christ.
Amen. Little Burl Jr. there, I like that.
Just remember, Carl, the Lord justifies the humble. I'm for you.
Another word. let's move right along. is that the Lord spoke to you, Psalm 89. Do you have anything? He spoke that audibly, and he said that that the Lord had assigned to John's life and to the future of the vineyard, Psalm 89.
Yes.
And that was the psalm of the crowning of the king. That was David's psalm, and the Lord spoke that to Bob audibly. Of course, you know, he told me that. I thought that was quite an awesome psalm for the Lord to speak audibly over a man like that. And do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, well,
let's all turn to Psalm 89. I just want to read a couple
especially
verses.
Especially that 19th verse. And when the Lord gave me that psalm, he said, just as sure as I'm going to shake Boulder Dam, as sure as this psalm is from me. Well, the next Wednesday's paper, and I still got it.
See, Bob,
the Lord gave an earthquake around Boulder Dam.
So often, Bob's, so many of his revelations, the Lord gives him a sign in the natural. It happens all the time like that. It seems, if you don't know it or know the whole history, it seems kind of funny. But it's quite an amazing thing how he'll tell us some of the most insignificant things, facts of what will happen over in the Middle East, or he'll, you know, the stock market will drop to this level, and that's a sign that this is going to take place, like the kindergarten thing that he saw in the vision 10 years ago, that when he was in that, saw the kindergarten pictures on the wall. I didn't understand what he was talking about, and I went back to Carol's office at the break.
Oh, you sneaked.
Yes. I had to check you out here. And
hey, you like them.
And what it is, it's, because I was thinking you were talking about those paintings on the wall by the nursery.
No.
And Carol has in her office from her grandchildren about 10 or 15, you know, pictures, you know, the crayons and all with nothing on them, but just a mess. And she has them as a proud grandma all around her office. And those are the pictures that Bob saw 10 years ago, that when he was in the office and saw those pictures, which so often happens that way. He often tells us an arrangement of events. And then when we go there, the arrangement of events is like that. He goes, that's the divine timing now. We're in the right place at the right time. So when he was in the place where the pictures were on the wall, signifying that he was with the kindergartners now, that it was the timing of the Lord.
It was the Lord's timing. So I'm sure that Carol will get a lion and let you come through and look at them. But another thing he was saying too, those are kindergarten pictures. And what you're doing will go on into your children and your grandchildren, and you're going to have grandchildren. And what you're doing now is a beginning of a movement, and your children will be just as good or bad as you are now. And what he's saying, I want some holy children coming forth. Therefore, the only way they'll come forth is you to get holy. And there's going to be a sowing in vineyard right now.
What's that now?
A vineyard. There's a sowing in vineyard right now.
Sowing of seed.
Yeah, the sowing of seed. And if you sow tares into these young lives now, that's what you'll have in 20 and 30. But if you sow righteousness into these seed, and by sowing I mean if you exhibit it in your own life, then you'll have a peaceful generation coming up that'll give you peace. What he's doing for you is to get your seed. He's always after the seed. He wants your children to be raised up in faith. I'll tell you, the children of promise are coming now. I never expected too much out of your generation. I expect a whole bunch out of my bank accounts, which is your children.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow night when he came back. He had a death experience, and the Lord sent him back. We'll tap into that.
And so the thing that he's doing is so that he'll have a generation that'll know him intimately and personally, that is raised in faith, and you're the one that's called to bring them forth.
So it's before November. I'm going to go on this trip to Scotland with John, and Bob says, oh, by the way, the Lord spoke to me audibly and gave me the psalm of that's over John's life. He goes, it's Psalm 89. Oh, I'm real well. That's one that I happen to be familiar with. I went, oh, my land. I said, do you know what that is? And Bob says, no, I haven't had a chance to look it through just yet. And I said, that is an incredible word to speak like that. And he said, well, he said, go and speak this to John. It's an encouragement. He said, I haven't had a chance to check it out. So I'm going to read just a couple of the key portions. It starts in verse 19.
Oh, amen.
It's verse 19, and it goes on to verse 37. Is the portion that relates here. I'm sure probably some of the other does, but this is the real part. It says, once thou didst a vision to thy godly ones, and thou didst say, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people.
Amen.
I have found David my son. And with my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. My arm will strengthen him. The enemy will deceive him.
Amen.
The son of wickedness will not prevail or will not afflict him. I shall crush the adversaries of the vineyard, is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I will strike those that hate the purpose of the vineyard. My faithfulness and my mercy will be with him in the vineyard. And in my name, in the name of Jesus, his horn or his authority will be exalted. In the name of the Lord, his horn means authority. I shall set his hand upon the sea, his right hand upon the rivers. That's even authority over natural elements.
Yes.
As well as a commission, you know, over the nations of the world. He will cry to me, thou art my father. The fatherhood of God will be prominent. He will cry unto me, thou art my God. He will cry unto me, thou art my rock of my salvation. I added the word, he'll cry to me every time there. Those are the three things that are going to come forth. I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. I will make him a man of great authority. You know, you might, I don't know if you want to go into the fullness of that, because you've seen some things on that. My mercy.
Authority is just permission.
What's that?
Authority means permission or anointed. Permission to use daddy's power. Or anointed.
We'll come back to 27, maybe. My mercy I will keep with him forever. My covenant shall be confirmed to him. That's signs and wonders.
Yes.
I will establish his descendants. That's you.
Amen.
His throne or the authority is the days of heaven. In other words, the Lord won't commission off until he returns. As many movements have a 10-year commission, then they're over. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, they violate my statutes and do not keep my covenants. I will visit their transgression with the rod. I will discipline the leaders of the vineyard. Their iniquity I will discipline with stripes. But I will not break off mercy from the vineyard.
Hallelujah.
He'll remove some leaders, but the word to the vineyard is a permanent word. It's an abiding word. I will not deal falsely in my faithfulness with them. My covenant I will not violate, nor the altar the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn in my holiness, I will not lie to David. So we have David's harp, and we have this whole calling. His descendants shall endure forever. His throne as the sun before me. That means the movement won't be cast aside. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. So just looking at, going back over that, Bob, you make any comments. But this was the audible word of the Lord. You know, I've seen Bob speak the audible words so many times. He told us, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, in August 1987, he said, October 19th is the day of judgment this year in the nation. October 19th, the stock market falls.
Yep.
On December 31st of 87, he said, February 17th of 88, you know, in 6 weeks, he goes, that's the day of judgment for the church. And he even knew the vessel involved. That's the day Jimmy Swaggart was revealed. The Lord has spoken to him audibly and gives him these dates, and I've never, that I can remember, ever recall one that he's missed with that. I mean, it's the audible voice of the Lord.
I can.
That you heard audibly?
I can remember when I missed.
When you got the insurance.
Yeah.
We'll tell that story tomorrow. Yeah, so that's a great one.
I have missed.
And
especially in my understanding.
Yeah, he misses an interpretation. But but that's mostly in the realms of the parables and the dreams and visions. I mean, there's a level of dreams and visions that are parables that it's difficult or confusing.
But the audible voice of the Lord, as a rule, is a direct word and not so often a parable. Sometimes it is. And so when he, because you don't have this history, Bob, that it may not alert you as much. He told me, I heard this audibly. I said, Lord, this is an awesome thing that's happening. Again, just a few of these things I read over real quick. Once thou didst speak in a vision to the godly ones, he did say, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. You need to know this, not so you think you're something special, but so that it produces faithfulness and intercession and humility. Amen. The reason God wants to know that he's chosen John is to cause perseverance in John and in intercession.
Yes.
The reason that he wants you to know that the Vineyard is a sovereign movement isn't so you can go tell your friends and say, don't we have it? It's to produce humility and extravagant obedience. That's the point of this revelation. If it does not produce extravagant obedience and humility, then this word will end up being a judgment to you.
Yes.
It either brings great humility or brings judgment. You cannot be neutral when the Lord starts speaking at this kind of level.
Amen.
The higher level of revelation always requires a higher level of responsibility and a higher level of judgment with a lack of faithfulness. I have found David my servant with my holy oil. I've anointed him. There's a sovereign anointing that's going to come upon the Vineyard.
Amen.
When Paul, I hate to go through this whole thing because it's lengthy, so I'll abbreviate it. Paul, for 2.5 years, had went to 25 different leaders. Paul came. And he went to Paul Yonggi Cho in Seoul, Korea. You know, he went to Swaggart before he fell. He went to Oral Roberts. He went to Pat Robertson. He went to Dave Wilkerson, a number of the top ministries in America, a number of them even in other lands. He paid his own way and went there and stood before him. The Lord spoke to him for a number of years, in those silent years, that there was a man that he was going to raise up that would be the beginning of I don't have to define it because some of you just get deprived over if I did, but the beginning of something far beyond the Vineyard.
Yes.
And he went, and Paul hears this direct word of the Lord, you know, that more sure word. And he stood before this leader and this leader and this leader and this leader. And the Lord said, this is not the one. This is not the one. It reminded me of Samuel looking for David. This is not the one. This is not the one. And he looked at 25 different men. Mm. And he was so weary in that visitation that he had when the Lord appeared to him on January 7th, 1989, and told him, he said, you will soon stand before this man. And the whole new dimension of the purpose begins. And some of you that were in the Spiritual Warfare Conference, I don't know if you fully understood, but the angel of the Lord spoke to Paul and said, John is that man. And the purpose is far beyond the Vineyard. It has to do with introducing the apostles to the body of Christ, building the altars and laying hands on them and introducing them to the body of Christ in the nations. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's kind of ridiculous to even talk about it because, you know, as Bob has said, it just gets you into unbelief, But there's something sovereign. There's something that is so awesome. That's the only word I can think of before the Lord taking place. Mm. It's going to require humility. It's going to require extravagant obedience. There's a sovereign hand of God has come and he's touched something. He's created a movement. Mm. The Lord has told us about 12 major streams that would be raised up in America. And the only one that we know by revelation is the Vineyard. That's the only one that the Lord has given us insight into right now. And he said, there's 12 streams, and I know there's going to be others, but he said that he's appointed the Vineyard. And this isn't the Vineyard prophets that are speaking this. These are men in other camps, in other places. Yes. These are people that never heard of the Vineyard, that have heard all these things before they ever even met any of you. And, you know, I've got a whole record of these things before we ever met any of you in person. You know, Bob told me in October 87, it begins in January 88, John calls. He tells me June 5th this year, he's calling again, and it begins. He said, this movement that we've been seeing, it's all going to start happening.
Yes.
He said, but the Lord is going to completely destroy, I wouldn't say completely, because you might take that in a wrong way, but he's going to tear the house down and build a brand new vineyard.
Oh, amen.
Because the first vineyard was to show you that you were no different than the others. Because so many of us say, Lord, if you anointed me, we'd be different. Well, now we know that you're no different than anyone else.
Amen.
You do the same things everybody else does when God's favor's on you. You take advantage of it. Well, now he's established that humility and mercy.
Yes.
And now the next house is coming. And that house isn't to exhibit mercy, I mean, of the heir or the compromise or whatever, this house is to, for the harp, for the compassion and for the purity to be exhibited to the earth. Mm. To bring leaders in that would have those three things. The restoration of God's purpose in worship, the restoration of signs and wonders and of purity. To bring an army of leaders, 10 times as many as people in the vineyard now. He's going to put a zero and 10 times. And that's only right. To prepare for the outpouring that's coming
that's
after that.
That's a warning. That's not a blessing he's telling you about. That's a warning.
The reason he's saying that, because you think, oh, it'd be great to have this great visitation. Do you know the enemies in the spirit that you will have as the power of God increases? Do you know the number of enemies in the natural? Do you know the potential for spiritual warfare and strife and failure and judgment under these kind of numbers and this kind of visitation? The only way through this thing is humility. There is no other way through this thing. But the Lord has said, I've chosen one amongst the nations of the earth.
Yes.
I've chosen. And see, we're not vineyard people. We love the vineyard. The Lord told us to support, to serve the vineyard. And I believe that many ministries will catch this vision through the spirit of the prophets. And they will come, and they like they did to King David. Mm-hmm. They will come from all around the nations, and they will serve the vineyard. Something awesome is going on.
That's right.
And the Lord wants us to catch the spirit of this thing. I mean, this is what we've cried for.
Yes. So that's why we come.
This is the conclusion of this message.